This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
3.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you
right. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming.
Welcome to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO. I'm Lisa Fay, one of your hosts, and we have a great uplifting show for our listeners today. We are visiting with dreamers from Right to Dream 2 who have recently found housing and employment. These are all empowering, joyful interviews that have inspired hope. As of now, Right to Dream 2 has assisted 55 people in acquiring permanent housing, and another 35 people use their time at Right to Dream 2 to find and hold down gainful employment. Dreamers have also found their voices and joined the social justice movement here in Portland. All of our interviews are of strong will and self-determination. They knew the struggles, challenges, and unsurmountable odds stacked in front of them daily and took them on. Like steps on a pathway, they climbed each one until they reach their goals. We are very happy to be able to celebrate this day with them and share all the emotions that encompass these dreams.
Well, we're moving on.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. And we're here at a celebration, celebrating 10 people within 1 month got housing from Right to Dream 2. And one of those persons that got housing is here with me, and his name is?
Yes, my name is Floyd Tops.
And Floyd, how long were you homeless?
Ooh, I was homeless for 4 years.
Before Right to Dream 2, how was your activities going on in the street? Were you getting good rest, or Was you being harassed? Did you feel safe? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when I first got homeless, I was sleeping out in the woods, coming back in town, going to the feeds and everything, and just walking around all day long. Really tiresome, really, because it seemed like you was always on the move, you know. A lot of people don't want you in their establishments, you know, except for, you know, the missions or whatever, but, you know, they give you 15 minutes and they tell you to leave. So, you know, keep you walking all the time.
So the treatment you were receiving in the streets was not good. I don't want to leave what you're saying.
No, it was not good for me because I'm, you know, I'm almost 60 years old. And, it's, you know, it's just, I mean, it's pretty hard, especially at nighttime when you're sleeping out on the streets. You know, you always got the, I mean, you just can't sleep good because you're always watching your back all the time.
Now, tell us about Right to Dream 2.
Yeah, Right to Dream 2. My own personal experience, it's been a blessing. You know, I felt secure. I get plenty of sleep here. And I hate to say that, I'm getting much fatter now.
That's not mean you're getting lazy. That means you're getting rest and getting healthy.
Yeah, I'm getting rest, getting health. Uh-huh. You know, I used it in a negative way when I first got here, more or less like a hiding place. I'm not going to go through that. I mean, go into that with you.
So how have you learned anything politically or anything about your civil rights, your human rights, or anything like that while being at Right to Dream 2?
Yes, I have. It seems like now I got the motivation to, you know, participate in it. Before, I just wanted a safe place to, you know, stay. But now I want to get involved, you know, with it. You know, because I see so much misery out here that shouldn't even be because of the, you know, the local city government. And, you know, I think they could do much better than what they're doing. I mean, this is a good example right here, Right to Dream. Right to Dream, too. It's a real good example.
So you was able to do what you had to do without carrying your living room, your kitchen, your dining room, your bedroom with you, right? And
how did
it feel walking with just your jacket on and not all these bags and, backpacks?
Yeah, like when I was walking with all my gear, you know, people stereotype you, and the police, you know, that they want to stop you all the time. They want to keep you moving, you know.
And so with Right to Dream 2, you was able to leave that stuff and you was walking freely. Did that give you uplift your self-esteem or anything?
Oh, yes, it did. There's places that I could go into without being asked to leave and all this stuff.
Now that you house, how does that make you feel now that you utilize Right to Dream 2 for that reason to get rest and figure out what you're going to do with your life? And now that you house, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good. It makes me want to more or less do more volunteer work and go to rallies, you know, more or less participate. I mean, because there's a big need, you know, that, like I say, public government is not doing, you know.
Is there anything you want to say to the public government or people that's living in house that stereotype homeless people?
All I can say about the government, you know, shame on you. I mean, really. I mean, you look at your track record and look at Right to Dream 2 record. I think our record is much better than yours. Shame on you.
You did a special, something special happened to you at Right to Dream 2. You not only got housed, but you got your back pension also. And your probation officer freed you so you can be more productive.
Yes, that's right. I'm still scratching my head on that. Somebody has clout here, you know. But I'm thankful for it, you know. It's a bad feeling when you're always watching your back all the time, always being conscious of what you're doing. You don't want to jaywalk. You don't want to throw a cigarette butt. You know, stuff like that. You know, this is what they watch for, especially when you're homeless.
And so this concept worked. The concept of getting good rest in a safe place where you can eat, it works to think about being productive.
Yes, it does. I mean, this works. This is the only thing that worked for me. Yeah. And I've been through all different type of programs.
Personally, you say you're almost 60. And did you ever think that you'll ever be inside again?
Not really, no, because of it seemed like I was always depressed. I didn't have the motivation to really do anything. I was always dependent on somebody else to do something for me, But Right to Dream, too, they uplifted me, and I mean, they actually helped me, and I'm really grateful for it.
So now that you're independent, you are you going to forget how to live?
No, I'm now it's like a rebirth. I'm going to start living again, like before I got out onto the streets or before I started using drugs and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, so now I feel like a human being.
Yeah.
I always ask God, you know, can I be like I was a long time ago, way back in my 20s and 30s?
Yeah.
And he's giving me a second chance.
You can't do those 20 and 30 things, but you can feel like you can do them, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Because
yes,
our body going to remind us we can't do
that. Yes, it does every day. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So are you looking to get married or what? Now you got a place. You're getting money. So
well,
is that the next level?
Well, maybe if I get out more, I probably will.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, and congratulations. Thank you for using Right to Dream 2 as a mean to get productive. And is it any one last thing you want to tell the listening audience?
All I can say is I wish we had more Right to Dreams 2, and if you can, support them, because this does work.
Thank you much.
Skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
And I, boy, and I, a 2 for 2, vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Well,
the only person talking about love, thine brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to my nation.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we celebrating it with Right to Dream 2, as within 1 month time, 10 people got housed, 3 found work, and 1 got his back pension. And I'm talking with a couple of people that just recently got housed and moved away from Right to Dream 2, and their name is?
Lisa.
Harley.
How long were you all in the streets?
Oh, since July?
Yeah, since about July.
And when did you all come to Right to Dream 2?
About Thanksgiving.
Yeah, about in November.
And how did y'all find out about Right to Dream 2?
Actually, we were meant to go to Dignity Village, and we just were walking by, you know, just walking around the neighborhood, and we found this place that day that we got here, but it took us a while to actually start sleeping here and becoming members, so.
And what did becoming a member do for you, Harley?
Well, it gave me stability. It gave me somewhere where I can leave my stuff, where I can know I could sleep without having to be messed with. And it gave me a community.
Is it hard as a couple living on the street?
Yeah, very much so. You have to constantly worry about your other person. It's not just taking care of yourself. And you also have the cops messing with you, and the shelters don't want to take in couples, and it's just really difficult. There's a lot you can do by yourself that you can't do as a couple when you're homeless.
And Lisa, why do you think the shelters don't allow couples in?
Personally, I think it's to separate people. People think that couples on the streets aren't stable and that they can't actually be in a relationship, so they want to separate them, and that's just not true.
Think that they only respect people that live in houses to be couples.
Yes, I think that's true. I mean, you know, they see a lot of the bad things that go on with couples, and they think all couples on the streets are like that, so.
So, Harley, was it easier for you to look to be productive while staying at Right to Dream 2?
Oh, definitely. Before we were here at Right to Dream 2, we didn't have enough time or energy to be productive. Everything went to just staying alive. All of our energy was spent on trying to find places to eat, places to sleep, places to shower, places to leave our stuff. places to get more stuff. And then all of our energy went to carrying around all of our stuff because we couldn't leave it anywhere.
And so, Lisa, in being that Right to Dream too, and leaving your stuff and hardly going to be productive, did you feel safer being that Right to Dream too than you would have on the street?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's really hard to not feel safe when you're out in the streets. There's always somebody possibly preying on you. And here it's like you have a big family, you know. Everybody looks out for each other, even if it's our outsiders who aren't members. So
not only did y'all find work in Gat Howe, but you was able to go back to school.
Yeah, my first semester was actually spent at Right to Dream too, and it gave me a place where I can get my schoolwork done, even though sometimes I was dealing with freezing conditions.
And did it feel better by staying here while Harley went to seek to be productive, and you felt that it was good to stay and not looking worrying about him or him worrying about you, and that he knew you were safe?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's sometimes when you get extremely lonely just because you don't have your other half that it's like, where the heck is he? When is he going to be home? But yeah, I felt a lot more safe. I mean, even some days I'm like, I don't care.
And Harley, the same with you. When she left and you knew she was going to school, it didn't worry that the police was going to move you, that you would be right here waiting for her to come back.
Yeah, it was very helpful for that. I mean, back when we were on the street carrying around all of our stuff, it took two people at least to carry around all of our stuff. We always had to be stuck with each other all the time. Neither one of us could do anything that didn't require the other, because we always had to have our stuff with us at all times.
And can you describe the different stress level that you went to than living on the streets and then being that Right to Dream too?
Well, it's a different kind of stress. It was definitely more stressful when we were out on the street. Like, while I was at Right to Dream too, I didn't have to worry about everything I owning disappearing, or about getting stabbed, or about being jumped, or I didn't have to worry about someone trying to hurt Lisa. I didn't have to worry about someone trying to steal my cat. I didn't have to worry about people trying to steal my stuff. I didn't have to worry about all kinds of stuff that you generally don't have to worry about in a first world country unless you're homeless.
And how was the stress different for you, Lisa, by being a woman on the street?
Well, it was a lot less stressful. Harley mentioned something about our cat. And yeah, it was, you know, at first, before we came here, it was really hard to manage an animal with being at Right to Dream too. Well, without being here, but when we got here, she had a place to roam that I knew she would be safe at, and that put a lot less stress on me, put a lot less stress knowing that, you know, Harley's going to be safe during the day. It was a different, it was a different type of stress. It was a stress of, oh, are we going to get, like, this benefit or that benefit? Is this going to benefit us? Am I going to do good in school? It's just kind of like your daily home worries if you're in a house.
And that stress was, like, different than worrying about what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, and your stuff going to be taken. So that add more stress than worrying about, are you going to get productive?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. You just, here you don't have to worry about when your next meal is going to come, if you're going to get moved from place to place every night. So
did you learn, are you more politically inclined now that you've been at Right to Dream too, knowing that the city officials don't care about couples or houseless people or certain things?
I think I've always been kind of politically minded, but I've never really been active in it. And now that I've been in Right to Dream too, I've realized that it doesn't do me any good to know these things and to think about these things if you're not going to do anything about them. And now I'm all for, like, yeah, let's go to City Hall. Let's
mess some stuff up.
Yeah. Well.
And what about you, Lisa?
It made me a lot more aware of what's going on in our community, and it taught me how to be a lot more compassionate towards people that I otherwise wouldn't be compassionate towards. Like, there was a lot of people living out in the streets that I just got rude with, but, you know, here it made me a lot more compassionate towards people that I wouldn't get along with otherwise. So.
And so are y'all using any of those things, skills or knowledge that you learned from Right to Dream 2, Right to Survive now in your daily life?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've had a lot of jobs before ever becoming a member of Right to Dream 2, but I don't think I've ever worked nowhere near as hard or with as much purpose as I did when I became a member here. Before I became a member here, I'd go to work and I'd resent the fact that I had to go to work. I resent the fact that I was working there. I would resent the people running the place. Now that I've worked in a place like Right to Dream 2, I know that the people working there depend on me as much as I depend on them. That if I'm not trying hard, then everyone else has to try even harder than they should have to. And now that I have a new job, a real job that I'm actually getting paid to go to, I don't hate my employer. I don't hate my coworkers. I don't hate the fact that I have to go to work. I realize that I'm helping and that everyone there is just trying to get a paycheck. They're all just trying to survive, just like me.
What about you, Lisa? Do you respect Holly more now that he's able to take care of you? I mean, that y'all off the street and he, you know, doing that man. I don't want to make man excuse, but I mean, how do you feel now, you know?
Well, actually, I feel like we've always respected each other in the same way no matter what. I mean, we've started out kind of in a bad situation, so, and we've just made things better and better. I mean, we went through the death of his mom together, which could be the worst situation anybody has to go through. I mean, she was the one who we depended on for our home, so when she died, that just all fell apart, and that made us stronger as a couple, and it made us still respect each other in the same way no matter what. The respect I have for him doesn't change based on what he's got or what he doesn't have.
Y'all inside now, and y'all feel better, y'all feel rest, y'all feel good about yourself. What is it that you want to tell couples that live inside on the ins and outs and being couples on the street?
It's not true what you see with couples who are abusive and stuff. There are actually couples out there who love each other that aren't going from person to person to person and doing other stuff with other people. It's not that way. I know a lot of couples who have been together longer are just as long as me and Harley, and it's, you know, it's not that way. You can have the same amount of love for somebody if you're housed or not.
And what about you, Harley?
I'd like to ask these people, if you see a couple on the street and they've been together for a while and you see them arguing, but you see them together, and like a year goes by, you still see them arguing, but again, they're still together and they're also still on the street. Ask yourself, how much would you be able to stand that other person that you're with, that you two have been inside for the last couple of years, and have never been outside, and never been outside with another person? How much would you like that person if you had very survival depended on that person? Do you really think that you're doing better as a couple because you're inside? Or do you think being inside has made it easier for you to do well as a couple? You'd probably hate that person if you realize that, hey, this guy's not going to do anything to help me carry my bags, or he keeps blowing up the spot, or we're not going to be able to sleep here if you keep trying to build a fire.
Okay, so I just want to say congratulations to both of you all. Thank you for using Right to Dream 2 to become productive, and I hope y'all do well and many, many blessings. Is there any one last thing you'd like to say to people?
Personally, to me, it's been really nice being here. And, you know, if you're inside, have some compassion for people who are doing worse than you. It's always the best thing. And personally, you know, I like to talk about how people on the streets who have pets aren't just different than other people. You know, they rely on whatever companion they have as their person or being to lift them up and to be a better person. So
I just want people to remember that this could happen to you. Nobody you see on the street was a little kid saying, no, when I grow up, I want to be a bum. This all was a shock to every one of us. Every homeless person you see has a different story. And none of them ever said, you know what, I plan on becoming a homeless person someday. They all wanted to be doctors and astronauts and ballerinas, and life just didn't work out like that. And that could be you. For all you know, you could get hit by a hurricane and end up out here. You could, your house could get burned down. There could be a mudslide. There could be a foreclosure. All of your investments that you thought would be a good safety nest, that might just disappear someday. And then you end up on the street just like the rest of us. And that's what happens to every single homeless person you ever meet. None of them decide that, you know what, being a homeless person sounds like a good idea.
I want to thank you all again and congratulations, okay? Are y'all going to come back and help out?
Yeah.
Of course. Who would ever?
Everyone I know lives here.
Yeah, different aspect on houselessness, right?
Yep, yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Thank you. Congratulations again. Thank you, Mark.
Living life is fun and we just begun to get our share of this world's delight. High hopes we have for the future and our goals in sight. We know we don't get depressed. Here's what
this is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio, KBOO 90.7 FM. And in today's segment, we at Right to Dream 2, where within 1 month's time, 10 people found housing, work, and even back pay on their pension. I'm here with a couple of people that recently used Right to Survive, Right to Dream 2 rest area as a means to get rest and seek to be productive. And I'm here with
Melissa.
Charles.
And how did y'all find staying at Right to Dream 2? The comfort or being at Right to Dream 2?
It was nice to be able to leave our stuff. And once he got a job, he was able to leave me there and not worry about leaving me on the streets and what could happen. So he was able to focus on his job and focus on bettering us to get out, to get off the streets.
And how long were you all on the street, child?
About 6 months. I believe came there in November.
Okay. And when you all was on the street, were you all separated?
No. No, we refused to be separated. Even though the system said that was do what you got to do and just separate, and we refused to. We're not going to be separated. We are refused to back.
And then I hear Melissa say because you was at Right to Dream 2, y'all was able to leave y'all stuff and you was able to leave her behind to go look for employment. Would you been able to do that if you all were still on living on the streets?
No, you couldn't do that because I couldn't leave her by herself. Anything could happen. And I would worry. You couldn't go look for work if you're on the streets. There's no way you can leave your mate by yourself. And then if I did find a job, what would I do? If I work nights, do I leave it on the streets by yourself at night? And then how would I sleep during the day? Because the police would harass you. You can't sleep. They wake you up. They don't want you to sleep during the day.
So, Melissa, you being a woman, that don't mean that you're weaker than men or not, but a lot of women is being taken advantage of. And did you feel comfortable with Charles leaving, looking for work and or going to work while you was at Right to Dream 2?
Yes, I'm also 5 months pregnant, and the whole time at the rest area, they were always taking care of me when he wasn't there, making sure nothing happened. And they did everything in their power to be a family.
So you felt comfortable there?
Yeah. Yes.
Would you have been able to be that comfort if you all was on the streets?
No, not at all.
Can you tell us some of the reasons why?
You don't, on the streets, you've got so many people that take advantage of one another. You've got potential for violence. You've got murders out there. And then you've got the house people throwing empty beer bottles at people. It's just not safe.
And then you was able to get proper sleep then if you were on the streets and that Right to Dream 2?
Yes.
And that means a lot by you being with child and getting good sleep, yes.
Yes, it does.
So So how were you before you came to Right to Drinker?
We went from our friends to Right to Dream 2 within that week. So we never actually experienced the actual streets. But the whole time it was nerve-wracking when we were wandering it and trying to look for work when we were just overnighters. It was scary. It was, how can we do this? And then, fortunately, we became pregnant once we became members. Otherwise, the scare factor would have climbed a mile high. And we had that comfort.
And how did you utilize Right to Drink too?
Took as much time as we could to take a rest. We still did our responsibilities there, but we were able to do our rest. We were able to get something to eat, and then look for our work and look for what we needed at the same time.
And Charles, did Right to Drink too help you? I mean, we didn't go out and look for work for you, but how did Right to Drink too help you to seek employment and housing?
Being able to get out there and do it myself, but they helped us for voting as those members and having a place to stay and rest and
emotionally,
they helped me. There's times when I was worried, was we ever going to get our life back again, and I worried a lot about that, and then worried about Melissa and the baby and all the roadblocks we kept running into every day. We ran into roadblocks. There's times we got real close, but then it seems like it was taken away from us again. But just kept on going, but we knew that we had a place to go back to Right to Dream 2. That was our home, and it always will be.
And now, what you all told me was like there was three levels of stress that you all went through since you became homeless. That was living on the street and going from friend to friend. Then living that Right to Dream 2 where nothing is coming about. Now you got an apartment with a child or expecting a child. Can you describe those three levels of stress to me and how it improved you?
It made me more stronger that I knew as they went by, even with all the roadblocks, we were going to achieve it. We were going to find our way back. And I don't know how to explain it, but it's very good, very good. And again, I Right to Dream works compared to TPI and the rest of them. It works. And we don't ask no help from the government or anything. And it works. And that's why the city needs to see that somehow. Somehow, got to find a way to open their eyes.
And what about you, Melissa? I mean, I know a lot of stress is on you because they was telling you, we can get you a place if you leave your mate. And that's what they do in a lot of people. So the stress was on you. Am I doing the right thing? I love my man. I don't want to leave her. I'm going to stand out here in the street. No matter what nobody say about me, I'm sticking with my man. Can you tell me how that stress dissolved from when you reach Right to Dream 2 and to now?
When we first started out on the streets, we actually fought because Chuck is 56 and I was scared to death the streets would kill him. So I was thinking I would rather have him, try and get him inside versus myself. So I fought him to the point we almost broke up because I tried so hard to get him. But fortunately, we went to some place, TPI actually, and they recommended Right to Dream 2, telling us we could stay as a couple.
Oh, really? TPI recommended? Wow. Yeah, two thumbs up for them, huh?
So when we found the first night we could stay together, we started striving to become members, and it's so much of a different stress, less of a stress for the fact we knew what we were going to do. We had a goal, we had a plan, we had it all along. It was just our lovely roadblocks every time we get close.
But was it easier knowing that you had a place to get some sleep? And that was one stress, the worry, take that worry off. And the other was that you all were safe. And the other thing, you didn't have to carry your luggage or whatever with you all.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That was one stress that was relieved. And because during the day we were hauling around our two suitcases and our cart, and it was just really hard. And you couldn't stop and rest without getting told you gotta move on, gotta move on.
Or get a ticket.
Or get a ticket, you know. We tried to rest, lay down at Riverfront. Police came and gave us a ticket saying you cannot, you're camping. How can we be camping? We just had a sleeping bag on the ground trying to keep warm. Yet they call it camping. You can't do that. You can't sleep.
So, Melissa, can you tell the listening audience, what did you learn from being at Right to Dream 2?
I gained gained confidence. I was always, beforehand, I was always a meek, mild, really shy, really skittish person. Being on the streets for a while there really made it worse. And then people started talking to me, and I started gaining a confidence. And then I actually became, my husband and I both became rest area coordinators, meaning we would help make decisions. So, I mean, at 24, it's a lot of responsibility. But it was amazing to think of the fact I was the youngest RAC, and I was voted in as RAC. People knew my age, and they thought I was responsible enough to do this. So it also, it helped my confidence, and it helped me become a better person.
And you, child?
Same with me.
What, you're 24?
No, I'm not 24, I'm 56. Plus, I have a disability. Had a stroke years ago, so, but yet people at the rest area didn't look at that. They didn't look at that. They voted me, and they wanted me as a wreck, and I did the best I could. I got frustrated because I couldn't help out like the rest of the wrecks are doing, but I did the best I could, and that's, you know, they didn't, as long as I did my best, they're family.
So do you think that this opportunity that you, I mean, opportunity comes, and I can't say because of Right to Dream 2 this opportunity came, but do you think that you was better prepared for when this opportunity came?
It came as a surprise. We expected to get housing in the next couple of months. We expected 2 or 3 months. We didn't expect, 1 or 2 weeks? That's how fast once he got a job. And even the job wasn't something we expected because we did it out of, it's an old job. Could they take him back? It was a 50-50 shot, and we didn't even hold our breath. But everything fell into place.
It's stressful still living in a tent, and people need to know that. But it was less stress than being on the street. So do you think because you was rested and you were more confident and you were freer to go about looking for work, looking for employment without worrying about your other half if she was in trouble, you think that the your employees sensed that in you?
Yes, very, very true. Yes, yes. Because when I went for my interview, I explained we are homeless, but yet, and they said, how are you going to take your shower and stuff like and get your rest? I explained what Right to Dream 2 was, how they help us and how we're stable there. I had friends that take get with David, and that showed them that I can be rehired. And I mean,
And I'd also like to add, Right to Dream 2, being able to leave our stuff and everything, of course, was the biggest thing. But Chuck, with his disability, you're talking about a person that has trouble talking. He has trouble with his memory. He did this on his own. The people that are supposed to help the houseless people didn't do a darn thing. But once we got our job, then they did. Our housing was because of him.
Good. Good job. Okay. How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling happy, relaxed, no stress. It's really hard to explain. It's just joy. I just feel very joyful.
Are you proud of your husband?
Very. And I'd also like to say I feel relaxed. I feel happy, joyful. And also because of Right to Dream 2, we're a closer couple. So we really see it now at the apartment being by ourselves.
If you had to talk to the city officials and the homeless shelters and entity, what would you say about couples? That's what we need to know, because we know they separate couples. So what would you like to put out there?
I'd say that couples work. Couples generally work well together because you need each other to lean into each other to seek emotional support and be able to deal with the ups and downs of being on the streets. They need to keep couples together if they want people more off the streets. I think also being a couple is what helped us.
And what would you say to the city officials about separating couples?
I would ask them why. Why do you have to separate the couples? Why can't couples stay together? I don't understand, and I still don't understand. Why? Why do you want to separate a married couple, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, that's been together so long? It wasn't our fault that we got on the street. It's just things that happened. So why do you want to separate us? Why? That's.
And you're a living example that a family that stays together get housing together.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So do you feel like you learned something political or social? Did you learn anything about your civil rights or human rights or your constitutional rights, anything?
I learned about the real world. Like I said, I'm 24. I haven't seen diddly squat. And I do feel like being out here has shown me a little bit more of what the world is.
Same here. I know about the world and how it can be. I was mostly worried about her. She's young, and she hasn't seen everything I have seen. And I know sometimes she thinks she knows it all. You got a long ways to go, baby.
So it's people that are couples that live inside, or people that live in streets, in housing. Why are you on the street, Why is couples, why is this? And I hear you saying that you all did nothing wrong to be on the street, but y'all refused to break up as a couple, and y'all resisted, and y'all fought advocacy, y'all fought trauma, you fought stress. I even say you fought fighting against each other, So did that bonding make you all stronger?
Very, very stronger. Oh, yeah, we're a lot stronger. A lot stronger. That, being out here, like I said, it wasn't our fault. It just happened. And people that's never been, and they think it's never going to happen to them. I used to think that too. I always thought, I'm never going to be homeless. I'm not going to be out in the streets. But you can. It can happen. Really fast.
And then, politically, how did that kind of let you look at the politicians different now that when you became homeless, because inside you didn't witness what y'all went through? You didn't witness separation. You didn't witness how you don't get enough sleep and how they deprive you. So what's your outlook on the political aspect of this city, of this state, of this country now, Melissa? Even though you're 24, you have an opinion.
I think the politicians, if they really want to understand the houseless and actually help them, I think they need to stay out here for 1 week and actually walk the shoes. Go to the places where for the feeds. And if they have to, go to the men's shelter, see how it's like being kicked out at 5:30 in the morning. They say they want to help as much or as little as they are, but they don't know what's going on. They're seeing it through rose-colored glasses.
And by you being a young lady, what is it? Anything you want to tell women that live in houses about how it is, how hard it is on the street for a woman?
For a woman, I think if they're not a couple, I think they need to find a way to get into a female shelter right away. But even then, it's not safe. On security, I was listening to women tell me that they were assaulted, they were raped in women's shelters. So that's something also to be wary of. As far as being a single woman, no matter what, it's not safe.
But you found safe and comfort at Right to Dream, too?
Yes.
You didn't hear of nothing negative happening to women at Right to Dream?
Never.
Can you tell us why? What do you think why that happened or didn't happen?
Because in Right to Dream 2, it's houseless individuals helping houseless. They honestly care. They're there right now. They know what's going on. It's not a political power. It's not a power trip or anything. They want to help. So because of that, they're more able to treat everybody equal and work together with one another instead of do this, do that crap.
And what about your child? What do you want to tell a man or a couple that's living inside that have no inkling of how it is being a couple living on the streets?
It's not easy. I'm just opening your eyes and see. I mean, this city can do a lot more of what you're doing now. And just look at, again, just, I keep repeating it, but just look at Right to Dream, the rest area. Just look at putting your political and all this politics bullcrap down and just see what Right to Dream is doing compared to your big fancy back money shelters.
You all, you know, you all are going to be missed. I'm going to miss you all. And I'm very, very proud of you all that you came to Right to Dream too and used our rest area and did the concept and follow the roadmap that we set out and, you know, as a reference to get your rest and become productive. And I want to say this from all the people, the organization of Right to Survive and Right to Drink too, that we're very, very proud of you all. Any last thing that you all would like to say?
Thank you. Thank you. But, no, I have to thank you guys because you guys, Right to Survive and Right to Dream. It wasn't for that. I'm not sure what would happen or what could have happened. Maybe, maybe not, but...
But you know what happened. You know what's happening now, girl. What about you, Melissa?
I'd like to say thank you, of course, to Right to Survive and Right to Dream, too. And I'd also like to say, if you're a couple out there, hold on to one another. Work hard. Work together. Don't let the petty stuff from the day get to you. Try and find a way not to fight so much. Find a way to work together.
Seek out the rest area.
That
is your...
Yeah. Seek out the rest area.
Now, when I'm a... put y'all under the bus, as they say, the rest there. Are y'all going to come back and help homeless people?
Of course.
Of course. Of course. We're family.
They're family.
They're our family.
Thank you very much, and congratulations once again. Think about this event of 10 people getting housed within 1 month.
I think that it was very wonderful that, you know, 10 people that come from nothing, from off the streets, to come together as a family and to get on their own and have a roof over their head and a place to live.
And for your opinion, do you think that this would have happened if they wouldn't have, let's say, been at Right to Dream too, getting a proper rest?
No, I know it wouldn't have. I don't believe so, because when you come to Right to Dream 2, you can leave your things here, you can rest, and you can come and go as you please. And they also help you with means to check on housing, jobs, and what you need.
what you think about this great event of Marty, of people, 10 people finding houses within
I think it's great.
You know it can happen now, right?
Oh, yes. I'm witness to it.
What you think about, you was one of the first people within the new wave to get housing. And what you think about seeing 10 people in 1 month get housing from Right to Dream 2?
I think it's amazing, and that the city needs to look at the statistics that Right to Dream 2 is pulling out and just realize how wonderful they are instead of messing with you all.
And how did you feel when you was here at Right to Dream 2 compared to how you feel now getting a house? Yes, honestly.
Honestly, I miss Right to Dream 2. I mean, because you guys have helped me out in so many ways when I was going through a bad time in my life. You guys were there. Now that I'm going through a good time in my life, you guys are here too. And I really love you guys and much respect to you all. You know, I'm happy to have a house over my, a roof over my head. I'm lucky to have a job. Recently married, got a husband. But that's all. That's for another show. But, you know, I'm just glad that. I'm glad I got a roof over my head, but I still miss this place because you guys are a big part of me.
And you constantly come back giving insights, letting people know how the rest area is, and that's good. You're giving back to the community. Is it more that you think can happen or anything you want to say to the politicians?
Does it have to be nice?
You can say what you want to say, as long as you ain't swearing.
Are you guys going to beat me out?
As long as you're not cussing, you can say.
Okay, because they have to realize that Right to Dream 2 is an asset to Portland, Oregon.
Nothing hold us back. We're going to put our show together. Going to polish up our act well. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well, don't you let
Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Dream 2, and I want to share with the listening audience that we still getting fined $1,200 a month. We still getting fined for our art project that we use as a barrier to separate us from the anybody coming in disrupting us, and those are doors. People are still saying that houseless people get together, that it don't work. And this is an example to people that concept, you give people enough rest, you give people time to think, a safe place, and time to think what they're going to do with their life, that they can become productive. And that's all these people are saying. Give us a safe place to sleep. Give us a place where we can be safe and out the elements, away from people that's attacking us and that's abusing us. Let us figure out what we can do for ourselves instead of criminalizing us and coming up with unjust laws to impose on people and criminalize them for doing something that is human nature, like sleeping, eating, using the restroom, staying together, having children. This concept that Right to Dream 2 do work. Over a year and a half we've been existing, 55 people found housing, 35 found work. And we had 4 babies being born, and the women and the family kept their babies. Thank you much. This is Ibrahim Mubarak signing off.
This is your host, Lisa Fay, at Right to Survive Radio, here on KBOO 90.7 FM. I sincerely wish the best and brightest of futures to all our guests today. I know we at Right to Survive would love for you to come back and continue to share and update us on your lives. All of us have a strong belief in all of you and have watched and listened to your struggles and enjoyed being here for your successes. Right to Survive can be found on Facebook or www.wordpress.com or reach us at Right to Survive PDX at gmail.com. Right to Survive meets the second and fourth Thursday of the month from 5 to 7 p.m. at Sisters of the Road Cafe, located at Northwest 6th and Davis. light meals are provided. Help make our third annual Pitch a Tent event a bigger success than last year's by coming out and camping with us on the Grand Floral Parade route. Save the date, Friday, June 7th. Pitch tents, have great conversation, view movies, hear music. Oh, and have a front row seat to the Rose Parade. Other ways to become involved with Right to Survive is to join us as we go under the bridges and outreach with the houseless community while distributing our bi-weekly newsletters. Join the Coalition on the Houseless Bill of Rights for Oregon. Or come tour Right to Dream 2 and see for yourselves the great work that goes on there, located at Northwest 4th and Burnside. Thank you for joining us tonight, and please join us next month as we continue to broadcast wonderful Right to Survive radio shows. Thank you.
And you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland. Also heard at 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM, Hood River in the Gorge, 100.7 FM, Corvallis in Albany, and as usual, heard around the world at www.kboo.fm. The time right now is 59 after 6, almost 6, 7 o'clock. Up next is Hard Knock Radio, news, views from a hard, from a hip-hop perspective. Coming up next.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to broadcast live from the Inner City Blues Festival, Saturday, April 13th, from 7 to 10 p.m. Healthcare for All Oregon is throwing a party called the Inner City Blues Festival, Healing the Healthcare Blues, in the Groove of Love. Northwest Blues Stars are returning for a night of music that will benefit the work of statewide coalition Healthcare for All Oregon for universal, affordable healthcare for all Oregonians. KBOO is proud to help sponsor the Inner City Blues Festival to take place Saturday, April 13th at the Melody Ballroom, 615 Southeast Alder. Doors at 6 and KBOO's live broadcast starts at 7. More information can be found at kboo.fm/innercitybluesfestival2013.
Hey all you hip cats and kittens, this Thursday dig this crazy live radio play at the Clinton Street Theater. KBOO presents the world premiere of the musical radio play 10 Cents a Dance. There'll be song and dance, murder and mayhem with a solid cast led by Rebecca Kilgore, fresh from the Big Apple, and a swinging orchestra led by Ali Ippolito. All of this live on stage at the Clinton and broadcast on KBOO live, written and directed by Dennis Nyback. A program of film shorts from the 30s and 40s will follow, all set in radio stations. See Cab Calloway, Kate Smith, Rudy Vallee, Mel Blanc, Lucille Ball, and those Jumpin' Nicholas brothers. So hoof it on down to the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street, this Thursday, April 11th at 7 p.m. for the KBOO Radio Pictures presentation of 10 Cents a Dance. Advance tickets available at brownpapertickets.com.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
4.1
What you see here is history. It's history. Never been done before. Never been done
in this
before.
Country.
In this country.
KPFA.
To bring you to the light of
What's up, fam? You're tuned to Hard Knock Radio here on the Pacifica Network. On today's program, we speak with the filmmaker, director of the new film about Mumia Abu-Jamal, titled Long Distance Revolutionary. Also later on the program, Mumia Abu-Jamal himself on corporate wars. And then later we hear from Black Agenda Report, one on Africa and the other on the privatization of education. I'm Anita Johnson. All this and more ahead, so stay tuned.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Sanitation workers at Republic Services Allied Waste in Youngstown, Ohio, have been on strike since March 27th. Picket lines have been temporarily extended to other Republic locations around the country in solidarity with the strike. The Teamsters say the workers are exercising their right to strike in protest of Republic's violations of federal laws that protect worker rights, including the company unlawfully changing working conditions without bargaining. Teamsters spokesman Galen Monroe says Republic Services Allied Waste has a history of trying to squeeze workers, and that's triggering labor unrest.
This seems to be a corporate strategy to try and fatten their bottom line by squeezing the labor contracts and trying to get concessions in benefits and wages from these workers. We are trying to make sure that these workers' rights are protected. We are going to take this fight nationally. We want to make sure Republic and Allied Waste understand that this is not only Youngstown that they're attacking. They're attacking every single member in our union that works at Republic and Allied Waste, and they are ready and prepared to stand strong with these workers to make sure that when their time comes to negotiate a contract, Republic Services Allied Waste does not try the same tactics with them.
The AFL-CIO says President Obama Tuesday took an important step toward restoring stability to the national system of labor management relations by nominating National Labor Relations Board members. Republicans in Congress are crippling the labor board by blocking all nominations to the board. Obama renominated labor board chair Mark Pierce, a Democrat. Obama also nominated two Republicans, Harry Johnson III, a partner at Arendt Fox, and Philip Misamara, a partner at Morgan, Lewis & Bockius. Obama called on the Senate to quickly confirm his nominees. The AFL-CIO says workers need a functioning NLRB as it also urges quick Senate confirmation. German workers at a warehouse for online retailer Amazon could soon be on the strike lines. Jesse Russell reports.
The workers protested at a warehouse in Bad Hersfeld on Tuesday as a test run for the possible strike. Workers at a warehouse in Leipzig announced last week that they would likely be taking strike action soon, although an official date has not been set. The workers are demanding a minimum starting wage, the equivalent of $14.